Lady Pandora Ravenel was bored. Bored stiff. Bored of being bored. And the London season was barely underway. She would have to endure 4 months of balls, soirees, concerts and dinners before Parliament closed and the families of the peerage could return to their county seats. There would be at least 60 dinners, 50 balls, and heaven knew how many soirees. She would never survive. Letting her shoulders slump, Pandora sat back in the chair and stared at the crowded ballroom scene. There were gentlemen dressed in their formal schemes of black and white, officers in uniform and dress boots, and ladies swathed in silk and tulle. Why were they all there? What could they possibly say to each other that hadn't been said during the last ball? The worst kind of alone, Pandora thought morosely, was being the only person in a crowd who wasn't having a good time. Somewhere in the whirling mass of waltzing couples, her twin sister danced gracefully in the arms of a hopeful suitor. So far, Cassandra had found the season nearly as dull and disappointing as Pandora did, but she was far more willing to play the game.
"Wouldn't you rather move around the room and talk to people?" Cassandra had asked earlier in the evening, "instead of staying in the corner?"
"No, at least when I'm sitting here, I can think about interesting things. I don't know how you can bear keeping company with tiresome people for hours."
"They're not all tiresome," Cassandra had protested.
Pandora had given her a sceptical glance. "Of all the gentlemen you've met so far, have you met even one you would like to see again?"
"Not yet,"
Cassandra had admitted.
"But I won't give up until I've met them all."
"Once you've met one," Pandora had said darkly,
"you have met them all."
Cassandra had shrugged.
"Talking makes the evenings pass by more quickly. You should try it."
Unfortunately, Pandora was abysmal at small talk. She found it impossible to feign interest when some pompous bore began boasting about himself and his accomplishments, and how well his friends liked him, and how much others admired him. She couldn't muster any patience for a peer in his declining years who wanted a young bride to serve as his companion and nurse, or a widower who was obviously searching for potential breeding stock. The thought of being touched by any of them, even with gloved hands, made her skin crawl. And the idea of making conversation with them reminded her of how bored she was. Staring down at the polished parquet floor, she tried to think of how many words she could make out of the word bored. Orbed. Robed. Doer. Road. "Pandora," came her chaperone's crisp voice. "Why are you sitting in the corner again? Let me see your dance card." Looking up at Eleanor, Lady Berwick, Pandora reluctantly handed her the small, fan-shaped card. The Countess, a tall woman with a majestic presence and a spine like a broomstick, fanned open the dance card's mother-of-pearl covers and surveyed the thin bone pages with a steely gaze. All blank. Lady Berwick's lips tightened as if they'd been hemmed with a drawstring. "This should have been filled by now."
"I turned my ankle," Pandora said, not quite meeting her gaze. Faking a minor injury was the only way she could sit safely in the corner and avoid committing a serious social blunder. According to the rules of etiquette, once a lady declined to dance because of fatigue or injury, she couldn't accept any invitations for the rest of the evening. Disapproval frosted the older woman's voice.
"Is this how you repay Lord Tranier's generosity? All your expensive new gowns and accessories? Why did you allow him to purchase them for you if you had already planned to make ill use of your season?"
As a matter of fact, Pandora did feel badly about that. Her cousin Devon, Lord Tranier, who had assumed the earldom last year after her brother had died, had been remarkably kind to her and Cassandra. Not only had he paid for them to be well-dressed for the season, he had also provided for dowries substantial enough to guarantee the interest of any eligible bachelor. It was certain that her parents, who had passed away several years ago, would have been far less generous.
"I didn't plan to make ill use of my season," she mumbled. "I just didn't realise how difficult it would be. Especially the dancing."
Certain dances, such as the Grand March and the Quadrille, were manageable. She could even manage the gallop, as long as her partner didn't whirl her too quickly. But the waltz presented dangers at every turn,
literally. Pandora lost her equilibrium whenever she spun in a sharp circle. For that matter, she was also thrown off balance in darkness when she couldn't rely on vision to orient herself. Lady Beric didn't know about her problem, and for reasons of pride and shame, Pandora would never tell her.